things are a little different this week than last year at Easter time, but what is not different is Jesus is still King. He is still risen, and we are still here, and we are thankful for that. I want to welcome everybody. Hope you're logging on. We're going to talk tonight about a few of the things Jesus did the day before his arrest. He was very busy and active, still teaching and still ministering and still being God. And we're going to talk about those things this week. It was a very special week, and we have our cross up here, as you can see, with the white cloth. This is our focus tonight, and of course Sunday will be our focus, the cross and what happened. And tonight we talk about how he got closer and closer to this moment on the cross as we discuss what he did in tonight's message. So with that said, we're going to open up in prayer. I know many of you have prayer requests. Of course, we can't take them tonight because most of y'all aren't here. But I know you have them, and God knows what they are. And just make your requests known to him at this time. Update on Sharon. I talked to her granddaughter today, and she is doing a lot better from her surgery and recovering well. And right now, none of our church family that I know of is in the hospital, which is a good thing. And everybody's at home and doing okay. So we do want to pray for our service tonight. I'll give Marjorie a chance to get up here on the keyboard for us. And after we do our prayer, we'll go into a worship song. We're going to have the words on the screen for you tonight. Hopefully you can see them clearly. Brandon changed our background to make the words a little more clear for you at home. And so as we sing, I want you to stand up. And I'll ask the ones that are here tonight with us to stand up as always. And we'll just sing together tonight. And I want you to praise the Lord. It's a very sacred, holy week for us, and we are. I'm so thankful that Jesus went to that cross for me to give me everlasting life, and it's a very sombering moment this week of what he did. So, Margie, you can make your way up here. We'll have the words on the screen for you after we pray, and you won't see me pray because we're a little limited on personnel here tonight, and so we're getting the words ready for you for our worship so you can sing along with us tonight. Do any of you here tonight have a spoken request you would like us to pray for? Yes, we need to pray for Defeen's family. Defeen lives in West Virginia, used to be a part of our church family, and she lost her uncle kind of tragically yesterday in a mowing accident. So we'll remember that family. Defeen, we love you if you're watching, and we are praying for you during this time. She's got great peace. I know where my uncle's at, and I know he's with Jesus, and she had a real good response today, and I text her. So, yes, Michelle Cottrell's uncle as well, who used to come to church here.
Carol Halton's husband passed away.
Yes, yes, you're talking about, yep, yeah. Yeah, Sky's the, yeah, yeah. We want to remember Sky and Carol, Sky and Courtney and that family. They lost a very close person in their lives as well yesterday. So, Courtney, if you're watching, we love you, and we're praying for you and Sky. Very much. If you're at home, why don't you just stand with me, and let's go, and y'all here stand with me too, and let's just pray. Father, we thank you for these, that you are God. We thank you that you care about us. We're thankful that every need we have matters. For those who have lost ones this week, we pray, God, for healing. We pray that you touch their pain, Lord, and bring peace to their problem. But we know, Lord, that you are risen. Because you are risen, God, we have everlasting life, and nothing in this world can come against us, can take that away. We thank you. I pray for peace for your people in this time. I pray for joy and pray for continued hope that they look to you during this time and not this world, not this kingdom, but your kingdom, God. We do give you praise, and we are here tonight to worship our King, and we pray you bless the worship and you bless the word as we talk about our King of Kings tonight. And we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all at home, sing along with us tonight.
We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of Kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship and with our heads lifted high, we will worship and sing.
sure if he's ready or not.
Adore you. nation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
I had asked Dee to come sing this song tonight. It's called I Need a Savior. And we did need a Savior. And that Savior came, didn't he? And that Savior changed everything. And so I'd ask her if she'd come tonight and bless y'all with this song, I Need a Savior. And it's a beautiful song. Worship with her. We don't have the words of this one up here, but just worship with her. And what a great message that we did need a Savior. And without a Savior, we would all still be lost. But we're not lost anymore, church. We're found because this Savior came. And we love our D, and this is home for a lot of, for hopefully all of our church family. This is another home, and I'm just grateful D was willing to come tonight to be a part of our service. So D, thank you very much.
And thank you.
You're going to love this song. It's a beautiful song.
need a Savior. That I need a Savior.
We need a Savior. Y'all can be seated tonight. Thank you. I've been over here about all day today, and it's been a real sweet presence here in the sanctuary today. We've had this week about 7 people that's come by to pray this week, and that invitation is still open to all you guys out there. If you want to come and have some alone time with God this week, just send me a text or call me, and make sure we're here and the doors are open for you. I think it's very important right now these doors stay open. It's a place of refuge, it's a place of hope, it's a place of peace. And just want to thank the ones that have came to pray for using the opportunity to be here to pray. And I know they're praying for all kinds of things. I know they're praying for this church, and that's very important right now. I'm praying for me, and I appreciate that. And we're all praying for you guys as well, and we love you. And it's an emotional time right now. So I saw folks stopping by to pray and seeing them face to face. It just was a very emotional time. Because I miss everybody so much. And we will be together one day. This is not going to break this generation. This is not going to break God's people. I promise you. It is not going to break God's people. We are the people of God. And we will come out victorious. We're going to get into our scriptures tonight. We are going to talk about my title of my message is The Day Before. And what I mean by that, these are if you do studying through what the life of Jesus was the week before crucifixion, these are the last 2 or 3 things that we see that he did before they came to arrest him. And I want to cover that, the day before he was facing this cross, what he was doing. And so we're going to start out, first of all, in John chapter 13. John 13 and verse 1 says this. And this first verse, actually, when I read this first verse 13, it just choked me up today. I want you to read along with me if you're at home. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and we know what that means, his hour of crucifixion was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Did you think about that? He loved us, and he loved you unto the end. He loved the ones that persecuted him to the end. He loved the ones that rejected him to the end. He loved the ones that blasphemed him to the end. And he loves you right now to the end. That verse touched me today, and when I went through that, it just touched me. And supper being ended, the devil now putting into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper, and we'll talk about that over in another book in just a minute, but I'll focus on this first part first. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now I want you to picture, this is Jesus, right? This is God, our Creator, who is pouring. And of course, foot washing was very part of culture then because of the dusty trails and dirt roads, and people would come in and they'd wash off their feet from all the dirt. But Jesus is going to teach them a very powerful lesson here. And I want you to picture Jesus, our Lord and Savior, washing, surrendering, submitting to wash his disciples' feet. Even in this dark hour he was facing, he was teaching them something. Peter said in verse 6, he says, Lord, why do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but you will know hereafter. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. And look what Peter says, and I've kind of used this as a humorous verse in the past. When you think about that, after he hears this, he says, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Wash all of me, Lord. If I'm going to be a part of you, I want all of me washed. You know what Jesus was saying? That if you don't let me wash your feet, you're not a part of me? I'm the one that washes away your sins. I'm the one that cleanses you. And if you don't allow me and my sacrifice on this cross to cleanse you, then you will have no part of the kingdom of God. You will have no inheritance of what I have planned. So let me wash you. It's symbolic of what he was going to do at Calvary. And he was teaching them another lesson. But the first part was teaching him what he was, the symbolic part of what he was doing. Verse 10, Jesus said, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean all over. But you are clean, but not at all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean." Verse 12, "So after he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so am I. I am the master, I am the Lord. If I then, be your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." We as people are to surrender to each other. We are to love our neighbors, the Bible says, as ourselves. We are to give to others as we would ourselves. He's teaching them that after he leaves the earth, what the gospel is. It's about loving one another. It's about caring for one another. It's about sharing with one another. It's about meeting the needs of one another. He was still teaching them, knowing he was facing within hours this horrible death of crucifixion. He was still teaching his disciples what they need to do after he departs. He goes on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you that do them." So he is letting them know, when I leave, you are to take care of one another and serve one another. I served you, and I'm symbolically letting you know that I'm washing, I'm going to this cross. As John 14 says, we read it Sunday, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. I go to prepare that place for you. And if I go, I will come back and receive you to where I am, that where I am you may be also." So he was letting them know, I've got to wash your sins away. And by doing this symbolically, I'm teaching you a spiritual lesson. The cross is the only way we are cleansed from our sins. The sacrifice of Jesus is the only way we are forgiven. We are not forgiven by our works or by our church or by our religion or by even a water baptism. We are forgiven through the grace of Jesus Christ. He washes away our sins. Like the old song, "Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus takes away my sin." So one thing Jesus did hours before he was to go to the cross was he was washing his disciples' feet and teaching them a very valuable lesson of serving and of faith and of redemption. Now let's go over to let's go back to Matthew chapter 26. Something else Jesus did hours before he was crucified, and that was, of course, the Last Supper. We call it the Last Supper, the last time he met and ate with his disciples in this small knitting group. And he was eating, fellowshipping, and teaching them again something. Verse 26, Matthew chapter 26, is that right? Yes, and starting with verse 20. "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say to him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He says, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He's having his last meal with his disciples. He is meeting with them, and he is teaching them. He is still loving them. knowing that one of them will betray him. One of his innermost people that he had walked with and taught would betray him. And he's saying, this body on the cross is going to be broken for the remission of sins. And my blood being spilt is going to be for the remission of sins. So think about this. He was symbolizing the bread and the wine of representing his future sacrifice just hours away from what he would be facing. This was a really bad week for our Savior. Because remember, he was God and he was man. But he did not let the deity of his person be the one that led him down this path. It was the flesh that submitted to the pain and the sorrow and the grief that he would have to face. Because we know that he could have changed course. He was God. He could have spoken anything in command and changed the course of destiny, but he didn't. He's sitting there eating a meal hours before his death, telling the disciples, always remember this moment. And remember what I'm going to the cross to do for you. I'm going to do for you what the law could not do. What every high priest before me could not do. What every other sacrificial lamb could not do. What every blood spilt sacrifice could never take away. This one sacrifice that's just hours away now for me is going to forever take away your sins forevermore. And not just your sins, but your children's sins and your next generation and every generation that will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is what he came to do hours before his death. I think about, we're getting to a little bit more here, I think about how agonizing as the days went by. When he first came in Jerusalem, it's day one, right? He's 7 days out. And he's coming in and people are worshiping him, saying, Hosanna to the highest, blessed be our King. And they're so excited he's coming back to town. And they're thinking that he has come back to restore natural Israel. But he was coming back to restore the kingdom of God for all humanity. And he came in and they're worshiping him and everything is good. And then he's doing other things during the next couple of days. And he's resting a little bit in between. And you know, he's staying with people overnight, and he's taking care of his father's business. And now we get to the point he's eat his last meal with his disciples before his crucifixion. And he goes on in verse 29 to say, but I say unto you, I will not drink any more of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Hallelujah. And then look at verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. How could Jesus be singing a hymn? How could he be in that place and state of mind, knowing what his destiny hours from now lies? But he is still worshiping. He is still serving. He knows what his call in life is, and that is to fulfill the Father's plan. And the Father's plan was that he was the sacrifice for all of our sin. And Jesus, this one body, absorbed. You know, in the old covenant and under the law, the priest would lay his hands upon the animal as they brought it, whatever that was, a bird, a calf, a goat, whatever, a sheep, whatever they could bring, whatever they could afford. The priest would lay his hands upon the animal, the head of that animal, and pray that all the sins of the people would go into that animal. Then that animal would be sacrificed and burnt. Well, here's Jesus going to that cross to be the sacrifice where all of our sins, all of our darkness, all of our failures, all of our nature, all of who we are was going to be poured upon him. He didn't deserve that, but he was the plan God had. He was the perfect and the last sacrifice needed for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ is, was, and forever will be enough. There's nothing we have to add out there. Y'all, people are searching for, how do I get forgiven? Jesus paid the price. What do I do next? You worship and thank Jesus who paid the price. What's my next step? You just follow Jesus who paid the price. Jesus did this for us. And this was a week for him of great darkness and great trial and great tribulation. And at no point on this journey to the cross did he ever retreat or turn around or go back. Or say, let me rethink this. He didn't flee. He didn't run. He didn't cut. He went immediately on course as God had planned and fulfills his destiny on this weekly journey to the cross. And I am thankful to the Lord. And I had a very emotional moment earlier here as I was praying up here, and I just began to think about what these next couple of days must have really been like for our Savior to face. I mean, man, some of us too scared to go get a shot at the hospital, we'd be whining like a big baby, you know? I mean, here is Jesus who knows what he's facing. The cross was a very common way of death in that time for capital punishment. It was a very common way to die. But it was the most excruciating, the most painful, the most tormenting way to die. They would have a plate on the bottom of the cross for their feet to stand on, and they would push themselves up to try to get air. And what crucifixion was literally suffocation. Jesus suffocated, completely suffocated to death. He completely got to where he could not breathe until he died. And this is a price that he paid willingly, and he paid submissively for us and for all of you. And that's why this cross is so special and so sacred. There were many crosses in Jesus' day. In fact, two thieves were on the other two beside him. Crosses were very common, but there's only one cross that changed destiny. Only one cross that changed the future. Only one cross that changed forever. And that was the cross that Jesus died on. Remember the story when he actually gave up the ghost and the earth shook, and one of the Roman soldiers says, "Yes, this truly was the Son of God." Even in the last breath when Jesus gave up the ghost, the very life of who he was redeeming mankind. In his last breath, a Roman soldier acknowledged, "Yes, this was the Son of God." That's the power of this cross from any other cross that ever existed, was the cross of our Savior who gave it all up for me and you. So they sung a song, they've ate their meal. Now they're going to the Mount of Olives. Now look at verse 31. Here becomes, so the first two things we talked about is he washed disciples' feet, showing them that they must be cleansed by him to be forgiven, and also how to serve others when he's gone. Then we read about the Last Supper, how he ate with his disciples and how he reminded them, and symbolically, to recognize that this wine I'm drinking is going to be my blood for you. The bread you're eating is my body broken for you. Always remember this moment. Always remember that I went to the cross to have my body broken and my blood spilt for you. That's what he was saying. Never forget that moment. The moment, disciples, and tell your children, the moment you ate with me and I told you this. And always remember that my sacrifice, my broken body and spilt blood was for you. It's forgive you and all of your future generations. It was to redeem mankind forevermore. That's the good news. That is the gospel. So now let's get to the betrayal. Jesus was betrayed. Verse 31, Jesus said to them, and this part breaks my heart as I read through this part of the Garden of Gethsemane. You hear and feel and see the anguish of Jesus. Jesus said unto them, "All you shall be offended." The word offended here means they will all desert him. They'll desert Jesus. "All you will be offended," or "you will desert me because of this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd," which is Jesus, "and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7 prophesies that very thing. It says, "I will smite the shepherd and I will scatter the sheep." Once again, another prophecy being fulfilled through Jesus. Verse 32, "But after," you at home and you here, say "after." "After I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Though Jesus knew the hardship of his destiny, he also knew he wouldn't stay dead. He also knew he would rise again. He also knew that wasn't the final thing. He knew the Roman soldiers couldn't really take out his life. It was meant to be for the purpose of birthing the kingdom of God for his people. So he said, "After this, after I rise again, I'm not going to stay dead, y'all. I'm not going to stay gone. I'm not going to stay buried. What makes me different is I will rise again the third day, forevermore sealing your righteousness." Hallelujah. So he goes on to say, Peter said unto him, and we're all this way. As a pastor, people have actually said things to me like this, and they have forsaken me. So I know this firsthand. Peter said, "Though all men shall be offended, though all men may leave you and desert you because of you, I will never desert you." I'll never reject you, Lord. I'll always be by your side. I'll be right with you all the way to the end. And Peter's heart was right, and Peter meant it. We all know Peter was passionate, and Peter was a very passionate man and said what he felt, and he meant that, but he didn't understand what really was going to happen. Jesus says, "Verily I say to you," after Peter tells him that, "that this night, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Boy, that's a gulper. I mean, here is Peter who walked on the water, right? Here is Peter who came out of the upper room full of the Holy Ghost and preaching the gospel. Here is Peter who was so passionate, who says, "I'll never leave you, Lord. Others may leave you, but hey, I got you back. I'm your homie, Lord. I got you. I'm with you." And he looks at him and says, "You'll deny me three times this night." Boy, that's something to swallow. I wonder what Peter was thinking. Peter said, verse 35, unto Jesus, "Though I should die with you, yet I will not deny you." Likewise, said all the disciples. You know, you tell your kids growing up all the time, you ain't got a lot of real friends. You know, you really ain't got a lot of real friends. You got one or two maybe real friends that are with you. And you find that out as you get older and you really need a friend, how many's really there for you. You find out all the ones that were, "Oh, I'll check on you. I'm not going to leave you. I got you back. I'm here for you." You find out pretty quickly how many friends stay with you. As a pastor, I go to quite a few jails and prisons and visit people. And it's the same story with these young men and older men. They'll say, "You know what? Not one of my friends has ever wrote me since I've been in jail. Not one of my friends has sent me nothing. Not one of my friends will answer my phone call when I try to call. They don't want nothing to do with me." It's amazing how when pressure is applied, where true faith is and where true love is. So Peter is very adamant. "I won't deny you." Other disciples, "I'm with you. God, we're with you. We ain't going to deny you. We're not going to reject you. We're not going to leave you." Verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." And that's where I began to be moved today over here. I was going through this. I was picturing Jesus in this Garden of Gethsemane to go pray. I mean, why would Jesus need to pray, right? He's Jesus. Why would he need to pray? Because he was carrying this weight. He was carrying this pain. He was carrying even this fear of what he was facing. He wasn't excited to go down this path. He wasn't excited to go down this journey. It wasn't something he was wanting to do. And he understood the hardship and the pain. We'll talk more Sunday about some of the hardship and pain he suffered. He knew what was coming. And he was carrying this weight. He goes on to say, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here with me and watch with me." He wanted his disciples to stay awake with him. I got to think about that too. I was like, why would Jesus care if his disciples stayed up with him? When you're going through a battle, don't you feel better when somebody's going through it with you? If I'm going through a crisis, I'm at home in my living room, like many of you are tonight, and I'm going through a battle, I'm going through hardships, and I go to Melanie, and I say, "Melanie, I need you to stay with me for a few hours. I'm in a bad place right now. My mind is not right, and I'm nervous, I'm afraid, I'm heavy, I'm burdened." And I'm going through that, I look over, and she's knocked out sleeping. It's like, really? I need you, Melanie. I need your support. Jesus needed some support in this time of his life. He needed it like never before. You know, this is not a time he could perform one of those great miracles just to deliver himself out of this. You know, he calmed the seas and calmed the storm. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. And he cast demons out of a demonic man. And he raised the young daughter up from the widow woman. He caused fish to come into a net that wasn't there before. He fed 5,000 and plus with just a little boy's lunch. All these miracles that we saw Jesus do, this was not a time he was able to pull the miracle card out. Could he? Yes. But he really couldn't, because that wasn't the plan. That wasn't the destiny. He couldn't depend upon his deity to get him through this moment.
He had to depend upon his own emotions and support of those he loved to get him through this moment. Peter, stay with me. I need you. I'm in a really bad place, and I need some friendship, and I need some love, and I need some support. And I want you praying with me that I have the strength to carry through with what God has called me to do. And that's what we do to God tonight, is call out to God to, Lord, I need your strength to carry me through what I'm going through right now. And he will. So he's asking the disciples, stay up with me, watch with me, don't go to sleep on me, please. In verse 39, he went a little further and he fell on his face. And I want you to picture our Savior on the ground, on his face, and he prayed this prayer. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. He was praying, God, I know the plan. I know what I've got to do. But man, if there's another way around this, if there's something else a little easier, then God, can you just let this cup pass and do it a different way? But if not, God, if not, then I accept my destiny. And I accept this path. And I accept your plan. Because I know that your plan, though it is painful in the process, is going to produce a harvest that the devil can never shut down or shut up. It's going to produce a kingdom that no government can ever shut down. It's going to produce a place that goes on and on forevermore with billions and trillions and billions of people forevermore praising this king. That's what he knew. But he was going through this heaviness and pain and pray to God, if there's another way, Lord, I'd appreciate it. But if not, and I think it's a great prayer for us. You know, we go through things. There's a Christian song out called, what's that song, The Blessing? Sometimes blessings come in the form of raindrops. Yeah. Yeah, Laura's story. And it talks about the blessings. And sometimes blessings do come in the rain. You know, even in this moment we're in right now where things are really different. Our world looks kind of odd. This is a time that God still blesses. It's a time God shows up. It's a time that we can still say, okay, Lord, I don't like what is happening right now, but God, not my will, your will be done, because you're still in control. When you know what's happening right now, you know everything happening in the world right now. You know all about the chaos. You know all about the struggles. You know all about the economics. You know all about the crisis. You know all about the sickness. You know all about everything. And God, I trust your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, as the prayer says. He cometh his disciples and findeth them asleep and said to Peter, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Do you think about this? He wanted support. He wanted somebody by his side. And he wasn't angry. He probably was more hurt. All that I've done for you, all you've seen me do, I washed your feet. I've taught you all the kingdom principles. You're going to be part of this new kingdom I'm birthing. And Peter, all I need you to do, man, was stay with me for an hour, alert and awake, just so I know somebody else is here with me right now, because I know my hour is very close. If you do research on this, his arrest, they say, happened around midnight. So, he's just a few hours in this moment from them coming to take him away. And he's saying, Peter, just stay with me. Watch with me. He said in verse 1, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we know that's so true. He went away again the second time. Jesus went away again and prayed a second time. And prayed again and says, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. The brokenness that I feel for our Savior the most, I think, is when he was on the cross and he says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? I want you to picture that where you're sitting right now. If the person, the people you love the very most in life just forsook you, walked out of your life, and you felt no love, no support, didn't take care of you, didn't help you, didn't listen to you, didn't talk to you, you felt totally, totally alone. You felt abandoned. That's what breaks my heart, I think, the most. The suffering physically was horrific for Jesus. It was horrific. But the emotional part of feeling like God had turned his back on him. I think we've all, if we could be honest, some of us Christians may be too scared to say this out loud, but you thought it. God, we've all been there, I think, where we felt maybe God, you turn your back on me, Lord, for a little bit? Because I can't hear you, and I can't see you, and I haven't felt you, and things haven't changed in my life in a while, and I pray and get no answers. God, do you care what I'm going through? Do you care about my crisis? Do you care about my struggle, my problems? I think for Christians, that is that the greatest hope we have is what the Bible says, that he will never leave us, right? He'll never forsake us, but he'll be with us to the end of the world. That's the hope I have in God. He's not going to leave me. If my family leaves me, if everybody leaves me, I know God is not going to leave me. He's a constant stay of our lives, every day, all the time. He is there at 2 in the morning. He's there on Friday night. He's there on Tuesday afternoon. He's there in the hospital. He's there in the prison. He's there in your living room. He's in the nursing home. He is wherever you are, God is. And he never forsakes us. When you break down your car, God is there. When you can't pay your bills, God is there. Whatever your situation is, God does not leave us. And for Jesus to have that moment on the cross where he felt that total abandonment. And as he's praying here, he realizes it's only going to get worse from this moment. He realizes he's hours away from a horrible couple of days of his life. And he's saying, God, I want the cup to pass, but if this is your will, I'm all in. I'm all in, Lord. Verse 43, he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They weren't the ones going to be crucified, were they? Makes a big difference which side of the aisle you're on. They weren't the ones that were being threatened to be crucified and die. They were followers of Christ, and they were persecuted, and there was some attacks against them. But they did not have to go the path that Jesus had to go down. He left them. He went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. His hour now is coming. Here it is. The hour he would no longer be a free man, and he would be just a day from going to the cross. While he was still speaking, Jesus was, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priest and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Behold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus. He said, hail, master, and kissed him. I want you to picture this moment. This was one of his innermost people that had come and said, hey, master, pretending to greet him with love, kissed him on the side of the face as a sign, this is the one they call Jesus. And he did it for 30 pieces of silver. He did it for a little bit of money. He exchanged this perfect Lamb of God, his King, his Savior, his Lord, for a bag of silver that could be gone within an hour. It's amazing what we exchange our lives for sometimes. And Jesus said to him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came, laid hands on Jesus, and they took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus, one of his disciples, stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear, cut his ear off. Jesus said to him, put up again your sword into this place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now, this part doesn't say it, but in one of the Gospels it talks about where Jesus actually healed that servant's ear and restored his severed ear. You know why? Because he was that person's king too. He loved his enemies. Thinkest thou not, I cannot pray to my Father,
and he shall give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be? Understand, they didn't overpower Jesus. They couldn't. Jesus allowed them to take him. And he even says, I could call legions of angels right now if I want to. Y'all can't overpower me. But then the word of God would not be fulfilled. My plan would not be fulfilled. This cross was part of the plan. And you were part of that plan. That we could have a kingdom that will never pass away. I think the more we see the chaos of our world and the craziness of our world, we begin to seek something greater, and we should. This is not our home, church. This is not the place we're going to end up. This is not our final stop. It's a journey to where God has prepared for us this beautiful kingdom. And it all happened because of this cross. Because he allowed them to capture him, his journey to the cross was just hours away. Verse 55, in that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you lay no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all, look at this last part, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Just like he said. When I read that verse today, and I really read that, I mean, think about that. The ones he loved, he poured his life into. He traveled with. He empowered. He called them by name. Remember, he handpicked them. These are his 12 handpicked choices. He went and told Peter, lay down your fishing nets and follow me. You'll be a fisher of men. Lay down your job and follow me. Matthew, come and lay down this. Luke, lay down your practice and follow me. I'm going to teach you greater things. And they followed him, and he loved them, and they loved Jesus. But in the end, here it was. He is now arrested. He is captured, and he is alone. He has been abandoned by all that loved him. He is truly in a place of great despair. And we pick up Sunday where he goes from this, where he goes from the arrest to, thank God, the resurrection. And I am thankful that he took this journey for me. I am thankful. It's a very sacred week this week. It's a time, and I know for some people they're like, well, it didn't happen this week. And everybody knows what we're talking about. We take time. God gives us seasons, and he gives us dates, and he gives us months and weeks and years. That's how we measure life here on the earth. And this is the time the calendar dictates to us. Take this week to celebrate this. This is what we do. We celebrate this time of our risen Savior. But his journey was not an easy journey. And I think about him in that Garden of Gethsemane, moaning and groaning and crying out, God, I don't want to go this way, but if that's your will, it's okay. Let that be our cry tonight. God, I don't like what I'm going through right now. I don't like the battle. But God, as I always say, your plan is better than my plan. And I trust that. I may try to run away from what you're trying to bring me to because I think it looks better over here. But God, if this is the cup you have for my life, then I trust that cup, because this cup's going to produce something beautiful and something wonderful. And this cross did produce something beautiful and something wonderful. It produced a people that forevermore have been changed and forgiven and redeemed by their Savior. Let us pray tonight. Father, we are grateful and we are thankful that you took this journey for me, for us, God. You took this journey. You got arrested in that garden, Lord, for doing no wrong. You are God in the flesh. You came to save the world. You allowed yourself to be captured that the prophecies of the word might be fulfilled. Lord, we know you did not stay captured, but you were captured that we could be set free. You were crucified so that we could rise again, and we thank you for that. For every heart tonight, for everyone watching, God, I pray that they take time this week to reflect and seek you and all that you are. And that when they look at you, God, they see the broken life you gave to restore our broken life. Thank you, God, that your body was broken and your blood was spilled so that we could be repaired and we could be fixed and we could be restored forever. We give you praise and honor, Lord, and thank you for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and nobody can take that crown away. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. announcement, a couple announcements before we close out tonight. Tune in at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Mr. Randy will be here on location at the church to do a children's lesson for Easter at 7 o'clock, Facebook Live. So tune in on March 7. If you can't catch it at 7, you can get back and watch it later. But he's going to have some things planned to teach you. I'll be here to help him. I'm going to be Mr. Randy's assistant tomorrow. So I will learn something too, I know, because he's a smart, smart, smart man. And I love hearing him teach. He's really incredible with the word. And so tune in at 7 o'clock tomorrow night for that. We'll be here again at 10 o'clock for Easter, of course, Sunday morning. And just want to thank all of you guys for your support through this time. We don't know how long this is going to last, but we're doing all we can to keep things moving forward. I want to thank all of you that have been supporting the church financially the last 3 or 4 weeks. It is making a world of difference, and we so appreciate your support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're going to get through this, and we love you very much. And what was that prayer request you showed me earlier? That's who that is? Okay. We want to pray for Brittany. That's a seven. Okay, all right. We want Brittany's got a, come on Facebook, she's got a seven-year-old brother in a hospital that's very sick. And we saw your post, Brittany, and we want to pray in closing for that tonight, for your brother, that God will heal him and touch him where he lays. We know he can because he's the healer, and I believe that. So I guess none of y'all out there got anything to say because I can't hear you. Like Sergeant Carter, I can't hear you. But I know you've got something you love to say, so just tell it to God tonight. But let's close out in prayer, and let's pray for Brittany's brother. As we close out this service, God, we thank you and praise you for who you are, and we just pray for Brittany's brother right now, this little seven-year-old in the hospital. God, I pray that you bring him peace. Let him not be afraid. Cover his bedside. Lord, send angels in his room even now, Lord, and let him feel your covering presence where he lays, and touch him and heal his body and bring him out. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Protect your people this week, the places we have to go, God. I pray for your sealing, protective hand to still cover us every step our foot takes. We thank you for being King of Kings. We thank you you're over this church. We thank you this is your house of worship. This is your place. And we thank you we are able to be here, God, still declaring your word. Bless all the people watching. We love all of them very much, God. And I pray you meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, Living Word. God bless you. See you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.